Pretty excited starting a new book, Ezekiel, and so we're going to go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless our time in the Word this evening. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for, Lord, just opening up this new book to us, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to the live streaming, Lord, and how we can get the study of the Word out. And just thank you for all those that log in, that take time to partake of your Word alongside with us. And so I pray your anointing upon the teaching of the Word this evening. May Lord be glorified in it. May you anoint it. May you change our lives, Lord, through the teaching of the Word. May it not just be a scholastic exercise, but may it be a life-changing, a heart-changing receiving of your Word to us, directly from you, Lord. And so I ask these things. I ask your blessing upon the teaching. I ask your anointing upon each one that receives it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? Remember the Sunday night study we used to do, Connecting the Dots? We haven't done that for a while since we've been on this lockdown. Seems like we've been on a lockdown for the past, almost 2 years now or so, right? Remember we used to do the Sunday night through the Bible teaching, and we called it the Connecting the Dots. And remember I used to always more or less read Pastor Chuck's summary from the Word for Today Bible as we started a new book. And so I was kind of working on early this morning. I was actually out of town this morning, but from Santa Maria there, I was working on the introduction. I was thinking, you know, I read Pastor Chuck's introduction, and you know what? I don't think I can improve on it. So I'm going to do all our Connecting the Dots on Sunday nights. I'm going to read through a good part of Pastor Chuck's summary on Ezekiel. It's really good, and it kind of sets the backdrop of where we're going to be going for the next several months. Okay, so I want to begin by doing that. Okay, so I do want to give a plug for Pastor Chuck's Word for Today Bible. It's right here. I have a picture of it right here. This is the old-fashioned one. And notice it's coming apart. I use it so much. But it's kind of a running commentary by the late Pastor Chuck on the whole Bible. And as he's taught through the Bible so many times, right, there was a running commentary that they put together, and it's in the New King James Version. You can still get this from Calvary Chapel Distribution. Okay, so if you want to get one of these, you can call us at our church office, a phone number or email address, but I'm taking this straight from there. So if you're using that Bible, you can read alongside with me, okay? Okay, so Ezekiel, the late Pastor Chuck, he wrote this. He said, the book of Ezekiel was written by the prophet Ezekiel, who was prophesying in Babylon during the Babylonian captivity. I want you to remember that, okay? So this entire prophecy was written from Babylon. Now, where's Babylon? Well, Babylon is what? It's not Jerusalem, is it? Right? It's not Israel, right? They've been exiled, and we should be very well versed in that because we just finished studying Jeremiah. Jeremiah saw them as what? His countrymen went into exile. Well, Ezekiel's writing from Babylon. It's a group of people that had already been exiled, even prior to Jeremiah's time, okay? So I want you to know this. This entire prophecy is written from Babylon. They've already been, a large group has already been exiled, and he's ministering to them from Babylon, okay? So it says, he was a priest who never served as a priest because he was taken to Babylon as a young man before he was old enough to serve in the priesthood. He ministered from 593 to 571 BC. Now, you don't have to memorize that, but you do want to remember 597 BC. Okay, the reason why I want to remember that is that's when Ezekiel was taken into captivity. Remember, there was three sieges we've noted. 605 BC, that's when Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity. We're going to read the book of Daniel after Ezekiel. All right, so this is a little bit it's out of chronological order. Okay, so the first person that got exiled was Daniel and his three friends, and that's the last of the three. We have Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Okay, so it's in reverse chronological order. The second group that got exiled was Ezekiel, right, and that was in 597 BC, right, and so this is the second book that we're reading. And then the third exile, or the third siege, was in the time of Jeremiah, and that was in 586 BC. That was the last one, but that was a book we just finished up in Jeremiah, okay? So you should be well-versed and well-groomed in all these different exiles. I've given you these dates before. But this one is prophecy. He prophesied in 593 to 571 BC, but he was actually exiled in 597 BC, okay? Ezekiel was prophesying at the same time as Jeremiah and Daniel, as I mentioned. Daniel was carried into captivity in the first wave of the captives who were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. He served in the capital city. All that to say, very important to note this, Daniel, he ministered right in Babylon, in the capital city, and actually he ministered right in the king's court. As we read the book of Daniel after Ezekiel, we're going to see he ministered directly to Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Now, we're going to see that Ezekiel, he served in the capital city of Daniel. Ezekiel was taken in the second wave of captives and was living about 200 miles north of the city of Babylon. Okay, so he wasn't in the capital there. He was north of the city of Babylon. He was ministering right there, and he's ministering basically to those that were exiled with him, okay? Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem, as we just read in the book of Jeremiah, as the city was destroyed in the third Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. Now, we just finished that up, right? Reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. Now, during the time of Ezekiel, Pastor Chuck writes, there were many false prophets who were still predicting that Jerusalem would not be destroyed and that the people would soon be returning to the land. Now, remember that from Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah and maybe one other person? They were the true prophets in Jerusalem. And what were they prophesying? Get ready for 7 years of captivity. Give up, right? You're going to survive only if you give up to Nebuchadnezzar. But if you try to fight, you're going to perish. And what happened? Most of them tried to fight. Remember they even went to Egypt to try to ally themselves in Egypt. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar took down Egypt and took down everybody that went there. And so the only ones that really survived were the ones that gave up. And they survived, and we know from history, right, they went through 70 years of exile, but they end up, their descendants return back into the land. And that, remember the prophecy of Jeremiah, he had the good basket of figs and the bad basket of figs? What were the good basket of figs? Those that gave up, right? They were the ones that lasted the exile, and they returned, and there was fruit. But the bad basket of figs were those that tried to fight. Okay, so he's ministering now to the exiles in Babylon, right? And he's ministering the same thing. He's saying, hey, get used to it here. We're going to be here for 70 years. Don't try to rebel here. Don't listen to these false prophets, Ezekiel's saying, that are saying that God's going to raise up an army and we're going to fight and we're going to overtake them. Right? Don't do that, right? And so Ezekiel's ministering the same thing, the same word, but he's ministering it to the exiles in Babylon. So think about it. Does God have his word covered?
Yes.
Has people in Jerusalem? Who's ministering? Jeremiah. Has exiles in Babylon? Who's ministering to them? Ezekiel. And you even have the pagan king who's ministering to Nebuchadnezzar. It's Daniel. You see, God's word is covered, huh? God is faithful. And we can trust that, okay? So we see right here, so Pastor Chuck goes on to write, says, the people were still holding out hope that this captivity would be short-lived, the people in Babylon that Ezekiel's with. But Ezekiel and Jeremiah were both predicting that the captivity would last for a long time and that the people needed to face this future. They needed to face the reality of what? Of judgment. Remember? They needed to face that God's going to exile them. But he's not through with them. Why does God bring judgment? It's to bring correction, right? Better to be corrected, right? And then come back and be used than to just perish like so many did, right? And so third paragraph here, Pastor Chuck writes, Ezekiel was an interesting and colorful character. Rather than just speaking his prophecies, Ezekiel often acted them out, attracting attention to the messages from God by doing various stunts. So we're going to see that in the course of our study here. His message was a difficult one to deliver as he pronounced God's judgment on his people. Judgment is never an easy message, is it? Right? Nobody wants to hear judgment, right? But it's necessary, right? So, but there was also always the message of ultimate deliverance and God's faithfulness. He repeatedly used the phrase, they shall know that I am the Lord. So I think oftentimes we need to remember this, that God allows us to go through discipline, right? And even judgment so that we would know that he is the one true living God, right? That is always the message of God to those who are under his judgment. He just wants them to acknowledge that he is the Lord, and his message always includes a bright future. Once the judgment runs its course and accomplishes its purposes. Okay, so we go through correction, right? Which is oftentimes through judgment, right? But as we get through that, right? He has a plan for us, right? And remember, we have always said this, right? God, before he wants to what? He wants to change us. Right? He changes us before he uses us. And that's a good thing, right? And oftentimes he does that through judgment. Okay, so Ezekiel's prophecies, Pastor Chuck writes, not only depict the immediate events that will occur, but they also look forward into the distant future. Now, this is very important, to the first and second comings of Jesus Christ and the judgments that will be that will accompany those times. Okay, we've talked about this not only in Jeremiah's prophecy, but Isaiah as well, especially Isaiah. Remember, there's the near term and the far term fulfillment. We're going to see this in Ezekiel, and especially in the far term fulfillment. You know, Ezekiel is going to prophesy of things in the millennial kingdom. He's actually going to paint a picture of when they return into the land during the millennial kingdom. He's going to paint a picture of the rebuilt temple in the millennium. He's going to paint a picture of when all the tribes of Israel are going to possess the land. And it's going to be interesting, right? They're all going to be west of the Jordan, not eastern. Why? Because that was the boundaries that was given to them under the Abrahamic covenant. You know, Ezekiel's going to prophesy this in detail. Okay? So there's a near term for sure. Right? They're going to come back. A remnant's going to come back in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah right there. We've talked about those historical books, but there's a far-term fulfillment as well, especially in Ezekiel. Okay? The message is of the consequences of rebellion and sin and of the faithfulness of God. And I love that, right? No matter how rebellious and sinful Israel what would become, God is what? God is faithful, right? To forgive. And if we're only what? If we only come clean and we just be transparent before the Lord, but we come clean, God is faithful. And that's really what God wants. He wants you to come clean. And as you come clean, right, he's going to be faithful to forgive you and to change you and to use you. And that's what we're going to see in these prophecies. Although the prophecies of judgment are clearly pronounced, the character of God comes through loud and clear, and his glory is seen in a profound way. Now, before we get into chapters 1 and 2 of Ezekiel, I want to kind of give you a backdrop of Ezekiel as a whole. Because, you know, when you look at the course of Ezekiel, I believe it's 48 chapters. And so the first two chapters we're going to read tonight. And these first two chapters you're going to see, he has a vision and a call. It's similar to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a vision and a call. Similar to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, he had a vision and a call. A vision of what? Of the Lord. All three of them, right? They had a vision of who God is, high and lifted up, and then received the call. And I want you to note that. That's usually the chronology, right? You have to see the Lord before you receive his call. Right? We're not getting our calls from man. We're getting calls from the Lord. And so all these three prophets, these powerful prophets, right? They have a vision of who the Lord is, right at the throne. They hear from the Lord. We're going to see that again, right? And then after that, we're going to see Ezekiel's going to be given the call, what he is to do. All right, that's the first two chapters. Now, from chapter 3 all the way to the beginning of chapter 25, it's kind of an interesting thing. You're going to read, because the prophecy of Ezekiel is going to be a prophecy of warning and judgment. Warning and judgment because the nation of Israel has fallen into sin, idolatry, worship of pagan deities, right? And so we're going to see the account of the prophecy of the warning, but you're going to see in these warnings they're not going to heed to the warning. So I like to kind of, if I had to like title these sections, right, I would title it the vision and the call of Ezekiel chapters 1 and 2, but the glory departs from Israel in chapters 3 through chapter 24. The glory departs. And we're going to see that. The glory is going to be removed. We're going to see it being removed from the temple. And as it's removed from the temple, it's removed from the city. As it's removed from the city, it's removed from the people. What's going to happen? Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in. Take the temple down, take the city. The glory departs. And you know, that's usually the chronology, right? Is that spiritually something happens and you see it physically. So spiritually, you're going to see the glory departing. You're going to see the Lord. He's going to remove his presence from the temple. He's going to move his presence from the city and from the people. And what's going to happen? The enemy's going to come in, right? So spiritually, that's what happens. And then physically, that follows. Okay? We're going to see that in chapters 3 all the way to chapter 24. And then it's going to be like a parenthetical prophecy of destruction of the nations. Now, we saw that in Jeremiah. Remember that whole accountability of these pagan nations. We're going to see a whole section of that, chapter 25 to chapter 32. But the latter third of the prophecy of Ezekiel is going to be the glory returns. Okay? And I like that part, right? The glory departs. We're going to see because of sin and idolatry. But God is not finished with Israel. The glory is going to return. And we're going to see that in the latter third of Ezekiel. Okay? And that's going to be a glorious time. And what that's going to pivot on, it's going to pivot on the latter days. You're going to see the glory returning in the latter days. And you know what's so important and so good about that? That's what we're going to be reading in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, we're going to look at the 144,000 this coming Sunday. 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. The glory is going to return. These 144,000, they're going to be sealed. Antichrist can't do anything. They're going to live on into the millennial kingdom, and then they're going to populate right there the land again. And they're going to possess the land. And in Ezekiel 48, he's going to prophesy how they possess the land, all west of the Jordan. And so you're going to see how these things come together. Scripture, God is not finished with Israel. The glory is going to return. It's going to return right in the temple there. Okay, so Ezekiel prophesies this, the latter third of this prophecy. Remember the classic chapter, the dry bones? Ezekiel 37? That's in that section. Well, who are the dry bones? It's Israel. Right, but they start to become awakened, right? And God breathes life into them. And so he breathes life, and then they become alive. They become born again. And as they were born again, right, they return to the land, and God begins to use them. And he restores them, and they rebuild the temple. This is all in the millennial kingdom. Okay, so we're going to see this come together, and it's going to really work together with our study of Revelation. Now, I didn't kind of put all this together myself. We just happened to be going through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and the Lord seems to be kind of jiving it together. He usually does, okay? But we're going to have some fun with this, okay? Okay, so that's kind of a long introduction. I do want to mark to you right at the onset that Ezekiel, he's prophesying during the time, and he's going to refer to when Jehoiachin is the king. And so if Frank is ready to throw up that chart, possibly, right? And remember the chart of the kings we looked at, we're referring to oftentimes as Jeremiah's prophesy. So the second up is Jehoiachin, right? And then Zedekiah comes after him. Zedekiah is the last king, right, when Jerusalem falls. Well, you're going to see reference to Jehoiachin here. And some other, one or two other kings prior to him. But really, it's Jehoiachin. And this is the time that this prophecy begins. Okay, so I want you to note that. Okay, so with that backdrop, let's go ahead and begin. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. This is the vision of the Lord and his call. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Ezekiel says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives." Okay, you want to highlight that. He's among the captives. Remember, they've been exiled. 597 BC. Remember that second siege? Ezekiel goes into exile with a number of other captives. Okay, so while I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Okay, so now it's going to get pretty interesting, right? It's going to be pretty radical what he sees. He's going to see the throne, just like John saw the throne. We just studied this in Revelation 4. Now, I want you to put on your memory cap when we studied Revelation 4. Remember all the things that John saw? I want you to compare with all the things that Ezekiel is going to describe here. And you're going to see the similarity. They're seeing the same place. Okay, so I want you to note this as well. Where is he? He's in Babylon. And he has a vision of heaven, right? So you don't have to be in a church, right, to hear from God. You don't have to be sitting in a building. You don't have to be sitting, you know. You'd be watching a live stream, and you can hear from God, right? And so he's in exile. He's in Babylon, right? And he says, "The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King," here we go, "Jehoiachin's captivity." Okay, so Jehoiachin is captive in Babylon as well. Remember we talked about that Zedekiah, he was supposed to be set up as kind of a puppet leader of Babylon. But remember he kind of double-crossed, right? He crossed Nebuchadnezzar, right? He didn't do what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. He wanted to ally himself with Egypt. What happened? Remember? His eyes got plucked out, right? All his, and then all his all his sons were killed right before him. Then they plucked out his eyes and they took him and they bound him in Babylon, right? But Jehoiachin, right, he's the one prior to him, and he's right there in captivity. That's the backdrop, historical backdrop here. And so he's in captivity, and then these exiles are in captivity, and Ezekiel's in captivity, and this is when the prophecy is going forward, right? It says, verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans. So it's in Babylon, right, that this prophecy came. And I want you to note this. He's a priest. Now, the interesting thing is, he's a priest, but there's no temple. No temple, right, in Babylon. So what's he going to do? God's going to raise him up to be a prophet. Okay, and he's a young man. And he didn't do any priestly duties, as Pastor Chuck in his summary said, right? He was too young. And so he's exiled before he can actually exercise what he was trained to do, what he was going to be trained to do, be a priest. And so God now raises him up to be a prophet. But before he does that, God appears to him. Okay, that's what we're going to read. Okay, so he's ministering in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Verse 4, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, verse 5, from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. Now, does that remind you of somebody?
Yeah.
Remind you of someplace? How many creatures were there in Revelation 4? Four living creatures, right? And so it would seem that he's seeing the same thing. And notice, right, the amber, color of amber. We see that at the throne. And we see these precious metals at the stone, right? These precious stones, right, at the throne. I want you to note that. So also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings, on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man, each of the four had the face of a lion, and on the right side each of the four had the face of an ox, and on the left side and each face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. Read Revelation chapter 4 and you're going to see very similar account from John. Not exact, but almost. Now people would say, well, there, found a discrepancy in the Bible. Well, you know, when you talk to different eyewitness accounts of an accident, you're not going to have exactly the same, right? Maybe a little bit different. And that actually lends credence to what they're watching is the same thing. If it's exactly the same, like verbatim, you can say, hey, they coerced, right? They talked to each other, right? But you want separate witnesses, right? And you can see. So when you read Revelation 4, John's account of heaven, and when you read this passage here, and remember also Isaiah chapter 6. Remember the angels there? You know, you're going to just kind of put it, they're all seeing the same. They're seeing heaven, okay? Now, verse 11. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward, two wings of each. One touched one another, two covered their bodies. Verse 12. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. Can you imagine that? The Spirit wants to go there, boom, they're gone. Instantaneous. They're moving. Speed of light. Each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. So I'm trying to get kind of a picture, a video in my mind, and I can't do it. I don't know about you, but I can't do it. But we'll know in heaven how they move, right? How they look. I got to tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to fall asleep like you are in this Bible study, huh? You're going to have your attention, right? These guys, they're going to be... Think about it. Verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Verse 15, now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. Now, this wheel, right, we don't see this account in John. Right? Maybe John just kind of, he was so overwhelmed what he saw, he forgot this. But Ezekiel sees its wheel. Now, I want you to check this out, verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl. And all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. Verse 18, as for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. Verse 19, when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Verse 20, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So it's almost as if they would think, right? I want to go here, and then they're there. They move like lightning. That's how fast. So you're not gonna outrun these guys, all right? Very interesting to try to get this picture in your mind, this picture of the throne of heaven, right? Verse 21, when those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Verse 22, the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures. So you have these four living creatures, and there's a firmament above it, okay? The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. Verse 24, when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. Verse 25, a voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. And whenever they stood, they let down their wings. Now, verse 26, check this out. It says, and above the firmament, over their heads, these creatures, right? These four creatures, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne. Interesting. The likeness of a throne. In appearance like a sapphire stone. Read Revelation chapter 4. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Verse 27. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud. Was that in Revelation? Absolutely. It seems like the rainbow, other than in Noah's time, it's always in heaven. So when you see a rainbow, you know what that's a picture of, right? Don't believe what this world does with the rainbow, but believe what God's, it's heaven. It's a picture of heaven. It's an emblem of heaven when you think about it. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So I want you to note this, right? Same thing we saw in Isaiah chapter 6. Same thing we saw in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before the Lord calls them to their ministry, he what? He appears to them. Notice that, right? It's very important, right? Before we see what we're called to do, we need to see what? Who calls us, right? We need to see him. That's really the order. And this is the order we see now in Ezekiel. Now, verse, keep reading here. It says, so when I saw it, I fell on my face, similar as John did, right? And I heard a voice of one speaking. Chapter 2, verse 1. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. So here's the calling, okay? Then the Spirit entered me. And when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. So this is his call now, right? Sending him to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Verse 4. For they are impudent. Now, impudent, another translation says still-faced. And so I really like that, still-faced. There's no reaction. The Lord's word goes out, he reveals himself, and there's no reaction. Impudent, still-faced. Kind of reminds you of the world, huh? God reveals himself, right? Still-faced, no reaction. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Okay, so whether they receive the word or reject it or ignore it, you give them the word. Okay, you do your part. I'm going to give you what to say to them. You say it to them, and that's what you're called to do. Verse 6. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them. Now, what keeps us from sharing the word of God to people? Oftentimes it's fear, right? It's fear. I wonder how they're going to react. I wonder if they're going to like what I have, you know, to say, what the Lord has to say to them, right? Is just your responsibility is to give them the truth, is to give them the word, right? What they do with it, that's on them. But you're going to be held accountable, right, for the word that you give to them. Okay? And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are rebellious, are a rebellious house. Verse 7, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. Verse 8, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Okay, you're responsible to receive what I say to you, to give to them, and then you're responsible to give it to them. What they do with it, that's up to them. That's their responsibility, right? So he says, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now notice this, verse 9. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, the scroll of a book. Scroll. Remind you of anything? Anybody come to our Revelation study on Sundays? Revelation chapter 5. A scroll. Now, Revelation 5. If I remember correctly, that scroll had writing on the front and... Remember we noted that. I want you to note this scroll. It says, a scroll of a book was in it. And then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside. And written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Let's keep reading. I'm going to read a little bit, okay? Verse 1, chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. Now, I'm going to stop there. If you want to know more about this scroll, you have to come back next week, okay? We're not going to have time to cover it all. But I want you to note this. This scroll sounds a lot like the scroll in Revelation chapter 5, writing on the inside and the outside. Do we know it is? We don't know for sure. But I want to hold your hand here. I want to actually read Revelation 5 to you again, okay? And we're going to talk about this more next week as we go into chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Okay, so go with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And you want to read Revelation 4 also, because that's the vision of heaven from John's perspective. And it's gonna, you're going to see, it really is similar to what we just read in Ezekiel chapter 1. Okay, so they're seeing the same, right? But it's from different eyewitness accounts. Now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals," this time, okay? And then we continue on verses. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And so I wept much," this is John, right? He's recorded writing, "because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it." Now, what is Ezekiel supposed to do? Digest it, to eat it, right? And so, verse 5, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" Verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Okay, so we just studied this in Revelation, right? Now, we looked at some cross references, and we took some commentaries that we looked at, right? And we thought, well, we maybe it could be the title deed to the earth, maybe, right? But we don't know for sure. It doesn't say it. But remember when I read the comment by J. Vernon McGee? Remember J. Vernon McGee's, and his thought was his opinion? He thought perhaps it was the new covenant written to Israel. Remember that? That was unique. Now, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but think about how Jewish Revelation is. We're going to look at Revelation 7 this next Sunday. 12,000, right? From every tribe. 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. There's a lot of references to Israel, right? So think about this scroll. If it is the new covenant given to Israel. Now, turn with me back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to stop here again. It says, "Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to who?'" The house of Israel. Now, it's interesting. Could it be that is the new covenant given to Israel? Because we know when the glory returns to Israel, the latter part of Ezekiel, as I mentioned, when the glory returns to Israel, the dry bones become life. What happened? They became born again. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The new covenant, right, given to Israel. We know in the latter days they're going to receive Jesus as Messiah. So it could be. We don't know for sure. Now, we'll get into this a little more next week in chapter 3. But again, the call, right? The vision first to Ezekiel, and then the call. What's the call? Is to give this prophecy to Israel. And as you read the entirety of the prophecy, as I mentioned, right? The glory is going to depart. Why? So that they would what? They would be corrected. But the glory is going to return. Starting with the dry bones. We give life. And the glory is going to return to Israel. And Israel is going to return to the land. And they're going to rebuild the temple. Right? And so we're going to do restoration of Israel. And we see that as the millennial kingdom. So perhaps it could be this scroll. We don't know for sure. But we'll get into that a little bit more next week. Okay, so first two chapters. Ezekiel chapters 1 and 2. Okay, chapter 3, we're going to see a continuation of this warning, this prophecy. I notice it has what? Lamentations and mourning and woes. We know, right, the seven seals when we open up, right? Lamentations, warnings, woes, right? Judgment. And so we're going to see in chapter 3 on, right, all these warnings going out to Israel. But they're not going to heed to the warning. And the glory is going to indeed depart, right? And they're going to go into exile, right? But we do know. At the end, as I mentioned, the glory is going to return. Okay, so Ezekiel is a very interesting book. Takes us right to the throne, just like in Revelation, right? We're introduced to a scroll, just like in Revelation, and we're going to see what unfolds in the weeks ahead, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Oh, Lord, we give you the glory and honor, Lord, of all that you want to speak to us through this prophecy of Ezekiel. Help us, Lord. Help us to see you high and lifted up, Lord. Bring us to that place as well, Lord. Lord, before you use us, Lord, I know you want to change us, mold and shape us, Lord. Purify us, Lord. So help us to be continually right there at the throne of grace, Lord. That's where we receive our strength. That's where we receive our call. That's where we receive everything, Lord, from you. So I pray over each one that's tuned into the live stream. I know maybe, Lord, that they're wondering what they're called to do, Lord. Bring them right to that place, the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, that they might receive from you, that they might come near you, Lord, so they can receive from you, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? Amen.